Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Thorsten.
I'm really happy that you're here.
Thanks.
In Hamburg at
Yeah.
the OSD. Perhaps let's start with what motivated you to study osteopathy, because you told me you were a musician before, a professional one,
yep,
in jazz music. So what motivated you to change your profession, basically?
Okay, well, that's a good question. The reason why I changed my profession was because I hurt myself, in music. And there was Nadia Todorov, which is an osteopath, that helped me to recover, and I found that it was magic, you know, and I was so impressed with that. But that's the reason why I went into osteopathy. The reason why I continue to be an osteopath today is not the same reason. Mm. It's because I'm always amazed at the results that we have in clinic, and those abrupt changes that sometimes happen in the clinic with chronic patients that have had issues for years are so stimulating and motivating to me, and I'm still amazed of, you know, the result that we get in the clinic with certain patients. Doesn't happen every day, but it's something that really feeds me to learn more and to evolve, and I think teaching is part of the learning process, and so that's why I'm at that level now of teaching osteopathy. Yeah.
Cool. And your specialty is cervogenetic headaches or
cervicogenic syndromes.
Syndromes.
Yeah, with headaches and yes, dizziness and all
and
that.
And how it came, where you entered this specific field?
Yeah, well, I have many different diplomas. I was a musician, but also a physical education teacher. I have an undergrad also in that field. And one of my teachers was a kinesiologist working in rehabilitation. And at the very beginning of my study in osteopathy, he wanted me to collaborate with a neuropsychologist with a concussion patient. Mm-hmm. And so I started to work with concussed patients already in 2009, mm-hmm, already in an interdisciplinary team. So those complex patients, at the time in 2009, I don't know if you remember, Thorsten, but post-concussive syndrome and all that wasn't very fashionable. And we were already looking at the different profiles of the syndromes, and we were already working with the kinesiologists, neuropsychologists, and osteopaths together. And so I had a very specific experience early on in my training as an osteopath. I wasn't even graduated from osteopathy, that I was already in the field. And eventually, the head of the ENT hospital center had some patients that I treated, and he saw the results and called me. So it's been more than a decade that I work in a very specialized, expertise group of health practitioners, or different physiotherapists and medical doctors, ENTs, neurologists, and all that, for patients that have issues that arise from the neurological subunit of the neck. So yeah, tinnitus, headache, dizziness, and a lot of different symptoms that mimic dangerous pathologies, but in the end it's a somatic problem, problem in the neck. Yeah,
I can see. I mean, cervicogenetic syndrome is really a complex, let's say, disease, or patients suffer a lot. Yeah. And how you would consider your, okay, it's subjective question, but how you would consider your treatment success in a way?
Well, in 10 years, we've had at the clinic around 15,000 osteopathic care. And so in my country, osteopathy is not yet regulated.
You come
and
from Canada.
I'm in Canada, in Montreal, in the French part of Canada. And so the head of the ENT department of the University of Montreal and the head of the service of the ENT service in the Hospitalier Center, Issam Saliba, the only reason why he would collaborate with us is because of efficiency. He's not interested in the philosophy, in the theory. He is a very pragmatic man, and he didn't have success with those type of patients before working with osteopath. So we have a team of 5 osteopaths in the clinic where he's a medical director and we collaborate. He's a co-director of mine in my PhD at the Faculty of Medicine. And we have developed fall prevention programs for the elderly also. So we have a wide range of interventions that we put into place to help patients that haven't found help in the standard care. So we are, as a complementary approach to standard care, osteopathy works very well in the interdisciplinary team. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see your workshop is extraordinary. What Thank you. Would expect a participant can learn from you in the workshop about cervical genetic syndrome?
Yeah, I think the participants, the objectives of the course are you know, a little bit of know-how. So to have a different approach in osteopathy, because the patients are complex, they've seen a lot of other osteopaths, so we have to do something different to get different results. So a new approach, it's called the advanced volumetric approach, which encompasses the whole body with also specific aspects to the neck, but also encompassing this whole body experience for the patient. So,
first of all, could you explain your approach a little bit more that people understand what it means?
So their full body technique approach involving the collaboration of the patient with breathing and also with a lot of body awareness and to work in a structural way with their attention and their surprise them with something that is very interesting.
I like this very much because this is a big difference in normal osteopathic approaches, and this is also one of the bases in psychosomatic osteopathy, where the patient is an active part, because selective focus awareness brings a big impact in the changes of physiology and competence and coagulation in the patient.
Yes, I do agree with you. I think of the patient as a collaborator in the therapy. He's not a passive object upon which we have an intervention. We collaborate and that. So I think one of the aspects is the know-how and to do this approach. One other aspect is also some knowledge to do patient education about the different aspects that are also going to aggravate the condition, whereas belief and behavior and things like that, catastrophizing, hypervigilancy and all those aspects.
But could you stay a little bit longer on what it means, your specific OMT?
Okay.
Approach to where we get a more precise understanding of what it means.
Okay, so basically what we're doing is we're trying to have a global body approach, and we try to have an impact on the relationship of the patient with his own body, his own interoceptive field. Mm-hmm. So we work with breathing, we work with the different sensorial modalities so that he has more precision. We know that these patients have chronic pain and that their body map or their somatosensory cortices are altered in a way that there is an imprecision measured by different tools that we can do that also and find out that they need to have more stimulation in the whole body. And not only on the neck, because these patients, they've seen a lot of people and everybody is jumping on their neck, right? And the idea is to make them feel like they're not only a walking neck pain with dizziness and headache, but their whole body and so certain places in their body are working very well. And so the approach is always taking the whole body of the patient into account when we build up a system, a corrective system.
And when you treat, where you're focusing on is there are certain steps which increase the competence of practitioners, of osteopaths?
Of course. But wait,
and
of
what
course.
Specific?
Well, I think that traditional approaches, which have had great results, that's how osteopathy we're here today because of that. And we're building upon that in terms of the maybe the lifestyle that patients have today, the way they live.
But I mean your specific OMT approach.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more in detail how you approach, how you examine, how you build on your typical practical interventions
yes.
in terms of OMT?
In very simple terms, we're looking at the body in terms of its capacity to be compressed and to be decompressed, right? Mm-hmm. So as a first step, these oftentimes monoblock patients, these rather tense and rigid patients that have a lot of problem dissociating the different volumes of the body, we simply with touch and at a different intensity of testing, we're going to test the capacity of it to retract and expand, and simply pressing the different volumes towards the center of the body and away. And we want to recuperate that as a first step instead of doing a very segmentary or very structural in terms of different structures. We're trying to get the volumes in general of the body, the different volumes of the body, to be able to compress and distract. Mm-hmm. And we use different approaches, but mainly approaches that use as a drive for the power the patient's own breath and its own inner strength. A little bit like MET would use like muscle strength to push against the therapist. We are taking the patient in a certain way, and it's the inner the breath that we're going to resist, and then we get a better quality of the tissue because the philosophy behind it is that we want the tissue of the patient to be able to express a kind of oozing, woozing movement that facilitate the drainage of the regions and all that. But in the process, we're doing so many things that maybe this is part of the active ingredients, mm-hmm. but there is so much more in terms of education mm-hmm. and relationship with the patient, giving them a sense of self-efficacy in the collaborative approach, because they need to be moving their body in certain ways to build up tension in the system. So they are also part of the therapy and they're active in what they're doing.
Yeah, nice. And I saw it's really impressive.
Thank
changes.
You. Yeah. You felt it.
Yeah.
First-person perspective.
And another question is, so you're really engaged in different fields. Also in your PhD, you told me. So what made you put so much energy also in doing a PhD beside all your clinical work and your teachings?
Right. So the research is part, I think, of advancing knowledge and trying to acquire knowledge in a new way in osteopathy. Our clinical expertise is a source of information for our clinical decisions, and research is very interesting in that. And so in my PhD, I'm interested in quantitative measurements. We're doing force plate technological quantitative assessments, mm-hmm. And we're also working on proprioceptive outcomes with different exercises, with the laser pointer and things like that, relocalization of the neck, amplitude of movements and things like that, but also questionnaires that we assess in a quantitative way. Mm-hmm. And there is also a qualitative component. So mm-hmm. I think in rehabilitation science, because the PhD is the Faculty of Medicine in Rehabilitation Science, mm-hmm. there is a necessity to talk to the patient. And osteopaths have been doing that for a long time, trying to meet the patient's needs. And what better way to find the patient's needs than to ask them, And in my field, in there is no qualitative assessment. So there is no analysis of the lexical content. And so we don't ask questions to the patient. what are their priority, what have been their experience with those complex trajectory of care. I know about this because I've been a clinician for a decade with those patients, you know. And so I think that my PhD is also a way to have the voice in their own words of the patients heard through publications with a mixed study, quantitative and qualitative. And that's the goal, to make their voice heard, and that we understand better, because their long trajectory of care comes from you know, a lack of education on the different people that are implicated in the health system. So more people are going to be aware of this type of problem, and the less the trajectory of care is going to be long and things like that. So we want to shorten that and educate the different people invested in rehabilitation. Yeah.
Very good. Do we have a last message for the audience you would like to give?
Well, I think a very simple one. I mean, when you see patients that have done a lot of different approaches, osteopathic, chiropractic, physiotherapy, and psychology, and you know, surgery, and all of that, and they're not yielding the results that they want, it's very simple. You have to do something different to have a chance to yield different results. And they know that if you do something that is different, they have a chance to have a different result. So this approach is different, and not necessarily better, but surprisingly different. And the patients, that will give hope to the patients in acquiring a better quality of life. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thanks, Dustin.